guys, what's going on? My name is John Bautista. I'm your co-host for the Marriage Savvy Podcast. It's so cool to be on air for you guys today. And we're going to bring on Amanda Richardson, who's the director of our coaching program at The Marriage Place. On today's show, Amanda is going to walk us through some of the phases of their coaching program. So if you're curious about what signing up for coaching looks like, sounds like, you want to stay tuned because there's also going to be a free resource that you can get, okay? And it's written by Kim Bowen, our owner and CEO founder, coming up on today's show. The Marriage Savvy Podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be used to diagnose, treat, or act as medical advice. Always seek the advice of your primary care physician, mental health professional, or qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition and/or mental illness.
Hi, John.
Amanda, it's good to see you.
So good to see you.
Yeah, it's been a minute, but man, it's just so cool to catch up.
Yeah, good to be back with you.
So we left off on our last series. We talked a lot about Kim and John's story. Now, something that I didn't know literally until recently was that our coaches, they operate from something called Marriage Rescue. So it's a program that The Marriage Place has specifically there. I haven't seen any other couples counseling practice have something like this, but essentially the coaches operate from a program, and the program was built off of Kim and John's story. Like some of the things that they built and worked on even in their marriage. Is that right?
That's right. A lot of what Kim and John shared with us in the past episodes, what they learned through just being married and having conflict and getting to the point that they got where one or both of them wanted out, they each throughout that journey used tools and skills that ended up bringing them closer together and ultimately saved their marriage. And Kim wrote the Rescue ebook based on that. So she came up with 20 tools that she used that really helped her save her own marriage. And we use that to help individuals and couples as they do their own work to heal and rescue their marriages.
Man, that's incredible. So you mean to tell me that because of Kim and John's like suffering, because they suffered, you know, in their marriage. And, you know, as they were learning about themselves and learning about how to get better at, you know, showing up in the relationship, Kim essentially wrote a guide to learn some of these tools and even try to use them in your own marriage to potentially save their marriage. Man, that's so cool. And so you're telling me that all coaches are trained in this marriage rescue program. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah, we are trained really by Kim, and we work together to help our clients all kind of in their unique situations, because everybody has a unique relationship and personality and growth journey. So we do customize it. It's their story isn't exactly Kim and John's. Right. But the tools really can be applied to any relationship.
Yeah. You know, would you mind sharing? I think this might be helpful for everybody to hear, but like, would you mind sharing the kinds of couples and maybe even kinds of situations they might find themselves in that would even like want to pursue something like Marriage Rescue?
Yeah. So the clients that we work with every day are anywhere from individuals to couples. And typically it's an individual that has found themselves in a marriage where kind of like Kim was at, that they say, I like you, but I'm not in love with you anymore. So those individuals will often come to us for help. Also, we have individuals where the other spouse has said, I want a divorce. Even has filed for divorce. That's kind of a breaking crisis moment where they reach out to us to say, I don't want to lose my most important person. Help me save my marriage. Also, individuals that are just realizing they're unhappy in their marriage and they want to do something different.
Yeah, that makes sense. So thanks for explaining that. I'm curious, like, there's this booklet, right? There's this book that Kim wrote. It's something that people can download for free on our website. But like, what's the process? If somebody were to call in, do they automatically get a book or do they get a coach? Like, can you describe what's the process for that?
Yes. So that is part of the marriage rescue process is they'll call in and they'll be paired up with the coach and they'll have an intro session with the coach and really just to make sure that they're a good fit with that coach. And then they kind of customize their growth journey based on where they're at and where the relationship is at. And it truly starts with that person learning how are they contributing to the dysfunction in the relationship and what do they want?
Yeah. Have you ever had a couple where one person is leaning in, meaning they're wanting to stay, and then one other person is leaning out and both of them show up, even though one of them doesn't want to be in therapy? Like, do they still show up together? Like, how does that work?
Lots of times. I have several couples right now that I can think of that are working with myself. And I know with some of the other coaches, it works. And how it works is we all meet together and we just talk about what's going on. That's part of a lot of the disconnect is they're not talking, right? They're avoiding each other. They're kind of walking around on eggshells and there's a big disconnect. And part of the marriage rescue work is bringing that disconnect, what's hidden, what's been swept under the covers, under the rug, to light.
Yeah.
And talking about the differences.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's super helpful. So to understand the framework, before we get into the content of what marriage rescue, like some of the key points and highlights, before we do that, I do want to know, I heard that there's a number of sessions that you guys do based on situations. So can you kind of clarify or define, maybe give a framework for how coaching is seen long-term?
Sure. As far as coaching marriage rescue or just...
Yeah. Coaching marriage rescue.
Yeah. So it really operates sort of in phases. When a client comes and they're just saying, help, I don't know what to do. My spouse wants out. So that would be just phase one. We want to just triage and stop the bleeding. Start analyzing what is your part, what is happening in the relationship, how to really regulate and calm their anxiety so that they can potentially show up in a safer way. And as that starts happening, and that's going to be several sessions typically, but they're going to notice changes in the relationship just by the changes that they've made. Meanwhile, they're building new muscles. They're starting to learn to manage their anxiety. They're starting to feel a little bit more calm, a little bit more confident. And typically, we'll see changes where the spouse is starting to lean in a little bit. As that happens, sometimes the leaning out spouse gets curious and even maybe willing to come for an individual session or to join in couples work. And that would be another phase where they really start diving into doing work together. And that's where they get to, that's the exciting part, where they get to design their relationship, the one that they've always wanted, the one they dreamed of, instead of the one that they found themselves in because they were just doing life.
Yeah. Well, man, I'm so glad that you're here today. And let's go ahead and talk about some of the content and what this Marriage Rescue ebook is all about.
Yeah. So oftentimes this, when we get a client that is really in this state of crisis and wanting to save their marriage, we will send them the rescue ebook, or they'll just go on the website and download it already. And it can be kind of overwhelming because it's like 98 pages that Kim has poured her heart into. And so I'll always tell them, it's a lot of information and not all of it is going to apply to your unique relationship, but there's really, really good tools in it. And to just take it and look through it and start with what stands out to you. And we will be going through it in session and customizing it to what is really going to be the most applicable to your unique situation. And so that's kind of just how we start diving in. But it's a lot. It's a lot of information. When individuals call in, right, they're in a panic state. They're in crisis. And so the work really that they're going to be doing with their marriage rescue coach is to calm their anxiety, to start going inside and paying attention to what behaviors that they have that are really pushing, most likely pushing their spouse away, right? When they're these pursuing behaviors, a lot of times they're, you know, they just left flowers for their spouse that says, I want a divorce. Well, they're not sitting there going, okay, how does my leading out spouse feel about that? And so we sit and we talk about that. What's the experience from the leading out spouse's point of view, right?
Okay, so first phase is essentially triaging, addressing some of the most
bleeding. Yeah.
Yeah, stop the bleeding. Okay.
The pain point that at least you can't control what your spouse is doing, but you can stop the destructive behaviors that you're doing that are hurting the relationship and probably your spouse. So kind of identifying those, working on eliminating those, becoming more aware. That's the phase one, triage. Phase two is doing your own work, really becoming confident, understanding what a healthy relationship is. So many people aren't even sure what they want. They don't even know what a healthy relationship is or what their desire is because they've been so maybe hyper fixated on the other person or this idealized relationship, you know, what they see in movies or on Facebook. And so doing the individual work is phase two. And then phase three is really deciding, okay, is this relationship going to make it? It's kind of discernment. Do we stay or do we go? Because if one is still leaning out or there's these super destructive behaviors, if there's any abuse, addiction, it might make more sense that the relationship does need to end. But if it can get healthy, then we continue on in the growth work. And that takes us into phase four, which is growing together, the couple's work and really designing their best relationship.
We talked about phase one, and phase one is essentially, from what you're telling me, I think grounding, right? Like and you called it triaging, which I thought was really interesting. Now, what is a triage for people that may not know or be in the medical field?
Yeah, I also just like to say we want to stop the bleeding. If you have behaviors that are causing your spouse pain or the relationship pain, we need to identify what those are. We talked about with Kim and John those disconnecting strategies, the losing strategies. We want to identify those and start eliminating those. And just give you one little example. A lot of people, when their spouse has said, I want out or I'm thinking about leaving, they get so anxious and they start overusing, like, I love you, I love you, I love you. They're saying it out of anxiety, wanting to hear their spouse say it back, but their spouse almost is turned off by that because it seems not authentic, desperate, and also isn't honoring where that leaning out spouse is. They're not in a I love you phase. They're in a I want out phase.
Man, that's really interesting. Phase one, stopping the bleeding and essentially focusing on things that the spouse is doing that is really hindering any type of progress or potential progress for the relationship.
That's right.
Okay, cool. All right. So what's phase two then? I'm curious, like what happens after, let's say they make it out of the triage phase, they stop some of the bleeding, they put some band-aids on, what's next after that?
So the next phase is phase two, and that is really just the individuals. If we're working with one, because only one's coming to the coaching session, then their growth work. If there's two, they're still doing their own individual work. And that is looking at continuing to understand their anxieties, their patterns, what are healthy connecting behaviors, what is unhealthy behaviors, and just really continuing to learn. And honestly, what they're looking at is can this relationship be healthy? When we start using connecting behaviors and eliminating the disconnecting behaviors, what happens? A lot of times, the relationship starts to grow. They start to feel safer. They start to build trust. You'll even see they're starting to be a little bit more romantic. There's more chemistry because they're both doing their individual work.
Yeah. Man, it sounds like individual work brings a lot of confidence. Like in this phase two, like you're talking about somebody doing their own personal work because, you know, in phase one, they realize, man, I can only really control what I do.
Right.
And what I can contribute. Right. So in phase two, you're telling me that they're going through their own individual work, processing maybe their own story, their ideas of love, their ideas of commitment, their ideas of trust and things like that. And that builds their self-esteem, their confidence in what they want in the relationship.
Yeah. As opposed to before, they were so fixated on the other person and a lot of assumptions and a lot of unmet expectations. This does bring it back down to your own expectations and what you can control and your own thoughts, feelings, behaviors.
Yeah. In a previous conversation, you mentioned that someone can be hyper-fixated, mm-hmm. right? Like hyper-fixated on their other partner. Now, that can be really suffocating for people that are experiencing that, right?
Yes.
But for the person who is hyper-fixated, that kind of reminds me of codependency. Can you talk about maybe some of the things that people struggle with codependency as they're doing their individual work?
Yes. So with that, the term codependency, you're more focused outside of yourself, right? You're looking to others to kind of calm you, to manage your anxiety, to even allow you to feel safe and loved, but it's an illusion, right? Because however our spouse is behaving does not define if we are safe and loved. We've got to first know that we are safe and loved. We've got to be secure first, the confidence individually to create a healthy, secure relationship. So it's becoming more, we call it, instead of being dependent on each other, we're interdependent eventually when we're secure and healthy and confident. We have to be able to stand alone first. And most people, they did come to the relationship more confident and secure. But over time, because of the unhealthy behaviors, it became a little bit more codependent or unhealthy, which is what has caused the stress to even get them to where they are today, to one or both not wanting the relationship anymore. It just doesn't feel loving.
Yeah. And you know what? To think about it, I mean, someone can be, for example, let's just say a couple, the person who wants the divorce is actually hyper independent.
Maybe so.
Right? Like a lot maybe of like one of the issues. Yeah. Like maybe one of the issues is that the partner wants out because they don't feel like their partner is super invested. They don't include them on major decisions. You know what I mean? Like people that are codependent, and that's something that you might likely point out. Right. And then also people that are hyper independent, mm-hmm. you're addressing both ends of the spectrum. Is that right?
Right. There's typically, it's funny that we are wired that way, but often a person that is very independent is also drawn to somebody that's a little bit more dependent, or we talk about the avoidant attachment being a little bit drawn to the anxious attachment. A lot of our couples are wired that way. And initially it's attractive, but as you do life together, it becomes not so attractive. It doesn't feel so loving because the independent person feels suffocated by the more anxious, dependent person.
Yeah. And also life changes us, mm-hmm. right? Like our needs prior to getting into a long-term relationship can change because we're constantly changing.
That's right.
Like life is constantly changing us because of the things that it puts in front of us as we go through things.
All the seasons.
Exactly. And so it's understandable that if you were experiencing something different at the beginning of your relationship, and now you kind of find yourself thinking and confused and not knowing if it's going to work. Mm-hmm. I just know that there are a lot of contributing factors and variables that would make sense.
Absolutely.
That would make sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was just going to say, so often we hear the comment that I love my spouse, but I'm not in love with my spouse, or I love my spouse, but I don't like my spouse, but also I'm not attracted to my spouse anymore. And there's that belief that it can't come back. And that's addressed in the Rescue ebook too. And over time, it's proven that as you do your own work and the relationship gets healthier and you spend more quality time together, more positive interactions, the attraction changes. Just like it did in the beginning, there was a lot of positive time spent together. Enough so that you said, I want to spend the rest of my life with this person.
Yeah.
And then life happened, right? And then all the differences came out and it got harder and you grew apart. But once you learn how to spend the quality time together again in a meaningful way, the right. attraction typically grows back. And we have so many couples that can share how that has happened for them, including Kim and John.
Yeah. And this is evidence-based research, by the way. Like, this is something that that psychiatrists and psychologists have reported, that if you stay in it, there's a potential for the likelihood is high. Right. For the attraction to come back. In fact, you can see your partner in a new way.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Maybe in a more helpful way, right?
Right.
Okay, so phase three is
stay or go. We called it more discernment. And sometimes we don't even have to go to phase three, right? Sometimes couples come in and they start in marriage rescue, and then the one or both of the spouses are creating such a safe, healthy environment that it feels safe enough, and both decide, we just want to do couples work. We want to go ahead and design our best marriage together. But there's also times where during phase two, as one or both of the individuals are doing the work, things like an addiction comes out. There may be abusive behaviors. There's other contributing factors that are creating a really unhealthy relationship. And that's time where we can look at in phase three, is this marriage able to be saved? Does it need to be saved? Or is it so unhealthy and destructive that maybe it makes more sense to figure out how to go in the healthiest way possible?
Yeah. And that's a really good thing to emphasize here, is because the marriage place, from what I understand and what I actually experienced, you know, as somebody who was an employee, was that the marriage place is pro marriage.
Absolutely.
And they're not ashamed about it. Like,
we're the marriage place, not the divorce place.
Exactly. Right. Like, there is just such a banner that is raised that says, we want to fight for people that want to fight for themselves.
Yes.
Like, that is so cool. And at the same time, you're operating in a sense of wisdom, because like you said, like, there are some times to where things come out after you know what you want, mm-hmm. right? In that phase two, where you're figuring out more of who you are and what you desire and your goals. And now in phase three, which you're saying in or out, which is what you said earlier, is discernment, right? It's the discernment phase. You're figuring out where you want this relationship to go. Sometimes mm-hmm. It's not helpful or healthy for a relationship to stay together. So can you talk about, like, what are some of the contexts that you would be cautious of in counseling people, in coaching people in phase three?
Yeah. So in phase three, we are truly using the discernment process, and it is just looking with both individuals. And typically it's one leaning in, one leaning out, but typically both saying this, it can't stay the way it is. It's not healthy. We're looking at what has happened that got the relationship to where it is. What has each individual done to move it in a healthier direction? And sometimes it comes out that one or even both individuals have a really unhealthy addiction, have maybe an unwillingness to do the work that would take to have a healthy relationship. And so at that point is where we would say, if change isn't going to happen, if growth isn't possible, if it is going to continue to be a destructive, unhealthy marriage, that is when we would coach the individuals. And again, we're not telling them to stay or go, but we also are not saying stay in a destructive relationship.
Yeah. Okay. So after phase three, where you discern whether the marriage should move forward, or maybe it should stop, or maybe stop for now. Mm-hmm. Right. What's the last phase? There was something that you mentioned, just to kind of summarize, like, what is that last phase?
So phase four is really my favorite part, and that I hope really with every individual and couple, we get to do couples work too together, where they design with a coach as their guide and providing skills, their dream, ideal, best relationship together. They create it, they're collaborative, and we go through the journey of growth work together.
So growing together, you're kind of maybe writing out or maybe putting some structure to maybe the way that your relationship grows and goes and even flourishes, right?
That's right. How do you connect in a way that's meaningful to both? How do you do the finances together in a way that works for both? How do you navigate sex and affection and parenting in a way that works for both of you because you are different?
Oh, so you guys do that? Like you guys go through different topics?
Absolutely. And it's wherever the couple is at, because some really struggle in certain areas and that is where we start. But typically it crosses over into parenting, into finances, into wherever they're struggling.
Yeah. Amanda, thank you so much for jumping on and telling us like what the coaching program at the Marriage Place is all about.
Absolutely, John. Thank you for this opportunity. And I'm excited to hear from more individuals and couples that are interested in healing and growing in relationships.
I love it. Thank you, Amanda Richardson, for that. And let me just say, if you guys are looking for a guide, a coach, someone to help encourage you along, if you're wanting to do some self-work, one of the best places that you can start is with one of the relationship coaches that the Marriage Place has. If you need some more information about it, www.themarriageplace.com, because we want to equip and continue to encourage people to stay working on themselves and working on the relationship. All right. Well, guys, it's our time for today. It's been a pleasure chatting with you guys, and we will see you guys on the next episode of the Marriage Savvy Podcast, where we believe that being savvy about your marriage can help you not get finessed by it. Y'all have a good week. Peace.